Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by some guy. I'll get to that guy here in a second. Today's show, we're going to talk about voting, defensive voting and rookie voting. And then this guy has some thoughts on the Julius Randle situation. So we'll talk about that as well. Do you want to say hi now?
Hey guys, I'm back. Hey. 3 weeks after my triumphant farewell tour episode, and like farewell tour of like 3 weeks where I kept, you know, like mentioning that I was going to be leaving, but not actually saying it on the air. I am back. I guess I just hate myself enough to come back and talk to Anthony. it's nice to see that nothing's changed and that he gave himself a solid like 1 minute at the beginning without even mentioning me to just like talk and, you know, feed his own narcissism.
It was 50 seconds. It wasn't a minute. Let's not get dramatic.
I'm sorry. My bad.
It's nice to be back. All right. Today's show, like I said, we're going to talk about all that stuff. And then at the very end of it, we're going to get into – we have an announcement that we've been waiting a little while to make, would you say? Just a little while?
A little while. Also, I should say, like, I'm Harrison Fagan. For those of you – surely Anthony has gotten new listeners since I left. So if you started listening in the last, like, 3 weeks, I used to be a co-host of this podcast. So you're either about to get a taste of what you're missing or you're going to be like, thank God, that's not the pod anymore. So
– boy, have we got new listeners. Whew, man. Anywho, as always, you can follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I'm Back. Baby, I'm Back. Let's go, baby, I'm
still
back.
Doing that joke, huh? Yeah. All right. Yeah, I see the podcast hasn't improved since I left. So
it objectively has. Shouts to Pete. Let's start with the Julius Randle stuff, because I have given a ton of thoughts on this, and obviously it's both shows that we've talked about Julius Randle. It was just me talking. So I'll give you the platform. I'll give you the forum. What struck you about how this Julius Randle stuff has gone down?
Well, so, first of all, thank you for letting me talk. And second of all, the first thing that kind of struck me was it's very rare to hear an agent give an on the record comment in this stuff. Like we hear from agents very often in like anonymous source or league sources and people with knowledge of the situation and like all the, like you're hearing from agents every so often. Sometimes that is who that means, but it's very rare that an agent goes on the record and says that negotiate, like, we don't know if our client is a priority. And that's exactly what we just saw with Julius Randle. And so I don't think that it's totally an accident that we've gotten so much Julius Randle news and exposure and all of this stuff in such a short amount of time. Like, there was the LA Times thing. I believe that was Sunday night when Aaron Mintz, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not like getting there. Yeah. Aaron Mintz came out and he was like on the record. It's like, we don't know if Julius is a priority. And then Monday, you got the Woj pod where Julius is on there and he's talking about his free agency and stuff like that. And so I don't think that all of that stuff drops at once. And I think that I don't think that was coincidence is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think that they're very, very publicly trying to leverage themselves into maybe getting they're trying to start negotiations early, essentially.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a great sign that they feel that it's necessary to do that publicly. But I guess it also shouldn't be totally unexpected, because we all knew that Julius Randle wasn't going to be the Lakers' first priority in free agency. It's been clear for the last almost 2 years now that the Lakers' first priority in free agency this summer was going to be LeBron. It was going to be Paul George. It was going to be guys like that. But again, this is significant because Aaron Mintz is also Paul George's agent. And if he is like dissatisfied enough with the Lakers that he's going to take this public, what does that mean for the Lakers' chances to sign Paul George? Now, like, Paul George isn't going to sign somewhere or not sign somewhere because his agent tells him to. But does it affect things? Like, does it color negotiations a little bit? And so all of this stuff was really interesting to me that we were getting all of the – I'm interested to know, like, why now?
So I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. And this is going to be a little shorter first segment just so we have a little bit more time in the second one. I'll give you my thoughts on it, and as usual, or just as like the old tradition goes, We'll see if you yell at me or not. We'll do that here in a second. So I think there were a few factors. The few factors that kind of stuck out to me were, one, this is still a really young front office. And just like with trade season, free agency season, whatever it might be. I would say
inexperienced. Young is
– well, sure.
Magic Johnson isn't young.
Well, I mean, I would – he's probably fairly young compared to other GMs.
Actually, I guess that's fair. Yeah. Some. He's probably middle of the pack.
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Yeah. Google GM ages.
But this is an inexperienced front office. So I think what you're going to see or what you're seeing here from Aaron Mintz is let's poke and prod these guys to see how far we can push them before we get any kind of response. And it was good to me to see that they didn't give a response the next day. Right, like it,
and it's also out there that like Pelinka was not beloved in the agent community, and so this also like you don't know if there's previous bad blood here.
That'd be fun,
potentially. And you know, the poking thing that goes back to like you said, the inexperience. Yeah, this is Pelinka's first. It's not his first contract negotiation, but it's one of his first big ones from the other side of the table. And so, like, we'll see how this goes.
Yep. And then the other thing that stuck out to me, or I think is playing a huge part here. And it adds to the point that you were making earlier about Mintz kind of getting after this early is like from all kinds of people that I have spoken to, that players and agents especially are getting themselves ready for really unhappy free agents this year. Because this market –
That's probably true.
This market is going to be really gross for these guys, especially restricted free agents. So this to me struck me as, look, this Aaron Mintz is going to be able to go to Randall and say, look, this is me. I did work for you. You can't fire me. You can't say I didn't work hard for you because this is what I've actually put in. And I think this free agency period is going to be really fun to watch because – you're going to get a lot of these reports like this that's going to be agents just doing their clients any kind of lip service that they can to show and kind of temper down the frustration that's going to come from this ugly of a market. And then the last thing here too is, look, Julius Randle is something that makes him a really good player, but he is kind of headstrong. He is kind of stubborn. And if he sees something that he doesn't like, then he's going to let it be known. And so you have all those things kind of coming together. And I think
it's worth noting just really quick on the Woj pod, he was very complimentary of the Lakers. Like it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of like gritting his teeth and saying like nice thing. Like he seems to legitimately appreciate what it means to be a Laker. And I know you're going to roll your eyes at that, like you know what I mean? There's a sentimental value for him in being part of the next championship team. Now, like, will that affect how much money he's willing to take? Like, maybe not, it was worth noting that this was not him going on there and like saying, pay me. He was going on there and like, he did seem to have very positive feelings about the Lakers. And going back to like the whole, this could be like a very targeted media blitz of the Lakers, is that like there was also a report that we wrote up today at Silver Screen and Roll that, you know, they're out of OKC, that Paul George is planning to stay with the Thunder, and that his agent has told people associated with the NBA that Paul George believes that the injury loss of Andre Robertson was huge and that he's staying. And so that was actually something that that was a theory from you earlier this season.
Well, yeah, I mean,
look, spoke this report into existence.
Robertson was huge for that team. Like they were objectively and statistically worlds better when he was on the court. But again, this is the same agent that's pissed off at the Lakers for not prioritizing Julius Randle. And if this is another
– Or D'Angelo Russell.
And so this could be just another kind of tactic that he's going with here to say, guys, I am not messing around here. I understand what you guys have priorities and stuff like that, but these guys are my priority. And Paul George is going to get his money. I don't think that's a big deal at all. But Julius Randle very much might not. And Mintz is going to do everything he can to leverage everything that he can leverage to get Randle his money. And that's his job.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on, awkwardly as it might be, to voting. So far, we have the 2017-2018 NBA All-Rookie teams and then also the All-Defensive teams. And the Lakers are fairly well represented, right? Kuzma gets first team, gets a first team nod, and some might say a little there might be some controversy to it, right? Though people were saying that OG and Anobi deserved a spot there. I probably would have argued that instead of Kuzma losing a spot, it would have been Lauri Markkanen. But then you're talking about positions and whatever. But Kuzma gets first team nod. Lonzo Ball gets a second team nod despite missing 30 games. But what stuck out to me was Josh Hart not getting any votes whatsoever. That was crazy to me. And now you were, as per usual, a little bit more laid back in your response to it. So why don't you go ahead and give your reasons why, or your logic as to why Josh Hart might have been on the outside looking in here.
Well, so when you and I were talking about this yesterday, I was like, oh man, here goes like reactionary Anthony, just like, well, Anthony, tell me who on these teams you would have put Josh Hart over, because these guys don't get to give like sentimental vote. Like, this guy should have a vote just to mm-hmm. give him a vote. Like, they have to vote for the people that they think are the best 10 guys. And so I was like, well, like, maybe like Josh Hart probably wasn't one of the best 10 rookies last year. I don't think that's controversial to say. Like, he shouldn't have beat out any of these guys that are on this team. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it was like a pretty like unanimous vote for the most part. But after looking at the voting, I'm going to say Josh Hart probably should have gotten a vote. At least a vote somewhere here. Because like
let's Royce go through, O'Neal. Yeah, let's go through the list of rookies who got votes, right? And we'll start from the bottom.
We're gonna read the list.
No.
We'll talk about
guys who got say one. No, we'll go three or fewer votes, right? Because that's all we're talking about for Josh Hart. So from guys who got three or fewer votes, you have Zach Collins in Portland. Milos Teodosic in for the Clippers, he got three, and he got an all rookie first team vote, which is astonishing to me. I don't know who would have given that. Luke Kennard got one.
That had to be Ralph Lawler.
It had to be. Yeah,
I don't.
Frank Mason III got one. Malik Monk got one. Frank Ntilikina got one. Semi Ojeleye got one. Sendarius Thornwell got one. And like, you look at those names, and
like Josh Hart should have gotten a vote there. Like, if those guys are getting votes, then Josh Hart should have gotten a vote. But ultimately, what we're talking about here is that's homerism.
Yeah.
And so if just nobody on the Lakers beat decided to show homerism towards Josh Hart, like, I don't know if that's something to be like up in arms about.
Well, let's go over to the all defensive team here. And I wanted to make the point that we're going to make about this, you know, the homerism stuff after we get into that. So the all defensive first team stuff, like, I don't have any issue with the guys on either team. You have Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Victor Oladipo, Jrue Holiday, and Robert Covington make up the first team. Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, Al Horford, DeJounte Murray, and Jimmy Butler make up the second team. Fine. Cool.
Lonzo Ball should have been on there.
I probably would have put him. If Lonzo doesn't miss 30 games, I think he takes DeJounte Murray's spot.
It's possible, although it's like unprecedented for a rookie to,
That's one of those like logical,
especially a rookie guard.
So let's do the same thing here. Guys who got at least three votes. Andre Drummond got three votes. Okay, he's a big. They tend to get a little help. Gary Harris gets votes. He also missed some time. LaMarcus Aldridge gets votes. Al-Farouq Aminu, okay. Avery Bradley, reputation. Steven Adams, okay. Will Barton, okay, sure.
Steven Adams probably should have had more, honestly.
Eric Bledsoe, no. Ed Davis.
Like I think that vote was for Eric Bledsoe of 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Should have been for Drew Bledsoe, really. Derek Favors, LeBron, DeAndre Jordan, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, and Fred Van Vliet. And so, like, so
how did Damian Lillard get a vote? That was definitely like a Portland announcer.
Yeah, yeah, or Ian Carmel.
And they definitely yelled Dame time as they were submitting their score sheet. At least they had the self-respect to not give him a first place vote.
Yeah, unlike at that Milos second team. Let's take another quick second here, and we'll make the point that we were going to make about both of these situations and how some of this stuff works. Hashtag press on. So let's look, I'm just going to be completely, if I ruffle feathers by saying this stuff, then you guys are really unself-aware, those whose feathers I ruffle in saying this. But some voters will do favors for guys with their votes. Now, if they're doing it for in exchange for anything, that gets a little bit more cynical. I'm not going to get into that, but that is a thing that happens, right?
Well, and also sometimes these are just the guy, like it's like
these are guys that, yeah.
The media loves to be like, oh, we don't show favorites to anyone. We watch basketball as robots. But, like, everybody plays favorites. And it's only natural to value guys higher. In the same way that fans value their players more than other teams' players, like, always, media does the same thing because they watch these guys all the time. Right. And so they have a more nuanced perspective on them. And it's just not possible to get about the entire league. So if you watch somebody more, you're going to have a little bit of a higher opinion of them. And then sometimes you're going to be prone to, like, confirmation bias of, like, if you have this idea that Damian Lillard narratively improved on defense this year, then you're going to remember the good the times he was good on defense, all three of them. And so
it's crazy is that he just made a three-pointer in response to you trolling him right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Damian Lillard is going to, like, show up on the court tonight. Like, as we're recording this before the Celtics and Cavs play, Damian Lillard is going to show up on the court for, like, the Cavs or Celtics tonight and just, like, inexplicably hit 12 points randomly in a quarter and then just, like, walk off. And they're going to have to decide which team that goes to or whatever.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on there. That's why I was kind of put off that those guys that, you know, and you know,
I think just proved empirically the Los Angeles Lakers have the most ethical beat in the league.
There you go. Now, here's where I would say, again, like, Lonzo Ball missed a bunch of time. So I get it that he might not have been put in those categories with the defenders that are listed on the actual teams. That's fine. Julius Randle's defense kind of tailed off as the year went along. Fine. Those are reasons not to. But I'm not saying that they should have made the team. I'm saying they should be recognized by the fact that the Lakers jumped from, what, 29 or 30 in the league defensively to 15. Like, somebody on the Lakers had to be at least partially responsible for that increase in ability and efficiency on defense, and nobody gets recognized. And that's where – and look, in the grand scheme of things, not getting an all-defensive vote in Lonzo Ball's first year and Julius Randle's, what, fourth year / third year, like, that doesn't matter nearly as much as what happens from this point moving forward in their careers. But you still like to see guys get honored or get some respect when they pretty objectively earned it.
Yeah, I mean, they should, like, under the criteria of here are some of the guys that received votes, someone on the Lakers should have received vote. Like, Josh Hart should have gotten an all-rookie vote given that context. And, like, you know, that, like, someone on the Lakers should have been given some credit for their defensive improvement. Either maybe Lonzo or Julius should have been given some credit, like a vote or something. Yeah. But again, it's hard for me to get too worked up about that. Number one, just because I don't get worked up about these things. No. But also because I think it was bad process that led to the guys that didn't deserve votes getting votes more so than any, like, bad process not leading to the Lakers getting votes, if that makes sense.
Yep. So what we're saying, this entire segment and a half that we've spent on this is basically –
is that you have a right to be mad. Tweet at the writers who didn't vote for your favorite – I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Oh, man. I was about to add a couple writers. What we've really been saying, though, is that we deserve a vote. Like, I want a vote.
I should not have a vote. I'm fully on board – like, I do not watch enough of the rest of the league to feel comfortable being like in charge of deciding these things.
I do, and I want to vote. NBA, Adam Silver, you look like a middle finger. I want to vote. All right.
That's how you get it.
That's how it works. All right. The moment everybody's been waiting for, the big announcement is here. So basically, I don't know if anybody has noticed. If you haven't noticed, thanks, guys. But if you have noticed, I haven't been doing nearly as much writing as I usually do, as I like to.
You write?
Every so often. What's crazy is that I can write without knowing how to read. Like, that's kind of – that's kind of – I'm proud of that accomplishment. But and you know, part of why Harrison has been away, we promised that he was going to be on – you know, once a month-ish or so, and he hasn't been on since he left, though I think we still are within that one-month range. The reason all this stuff has been going on is because we've been waiting for the right time to make this announcement, and we wanted to make sure we made the announcement after everything was kind of set in stone. It looks like it is now. I'm back. I'm going to Silver Screen and Roll. I'm going over there. Harrison is the EIC over there. I'll be the deputy EIC. Is that how that's going to work?
Deputy editor, I think, is your official title.
There you go.
I think that's what it says on the checks.
But if you...
It also, Anthony's social security number is...
If you at any point whatsoever try to do the whole I'm your boss thing, I will...
I literally am your boss.
Well, yeah, but if you try to act like it, in an offensive tone, I'm going to send out a picture of you, a screen grab. I've been screen grabbing this entire conversation. I didn't want to tell you, but your hairline is a little thin today because you're not wearing a hat.
My hairline is really bad at this point, regardless, because it's just leaving me. It's, you know, this job is a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
and I have bad genetics, for it.
At least now you're getting a little bit of help, and we aren't going to get into specifics as to what other help is going down. But I'll be hopping on. I got to write. I think it's like 3 or 4 pieces a day.
It's actually 7. It's 7. Oh, just my because God. You didn't check. So I'm going to see how much I can get out of you.
The show is going to be back on Silver Screen's. We're going to start doing put the pieces on Silver Screen's platform. Those podcasts that we've listened to regarding all the player reviews and stuff, that's all going on there. I'm going to write out my thoughts and then link to the show there, embed the show there at the very bottom of the page, so you guys will have another place to more consistently find the show. It'll be on Silver Screen's Facebook, which will be kind of nice, so you guys benefit there. I'm looking forward to getting back to writing again, and Harrison, I'm looking forward to getting you on working here every so often. Nope, get out of here. I'm looking forward to bringing you back on the show, on my show, that you are no longer associated with, because it's my show and I fired you.
Hey, that's fine, but just know that I could do the same thing, and also that, you know, I could choose. It'd be a real shame if all of a sudden your article is posting the show to our site were just to, like, not happen anymore.
Well,
just if you're a real shame.
It's not like that's never happened before. All right. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was fun. We'll be back at it again. Pete and I are going to talk about the front office and what we've seen from them in this first year. Now, we are going to do so with the context of there's a bunch of stuff that's going to happen in the next couple months. So
can I just real quick, I have a couple words for Pete. Okay. Like, I've been listening, man. I listen to the show on the days that Anthony isn't doing it by himself, because I actually value your input. And like, I don't get like why you're changing up your energy all the time. Like, you're so nice in person to my face. And then it's like, oh, like Harrison's not within earshot. I'm going to trash talk his hairline, or I'm going to call him a word that I'm not going to repeat on this show. And I'm just going to say, like, at me, bro, come say it to my face. Like, you got like a lot of courage, come out here, like, blasting me on Twitter, blasting me on my former podcast that you came in and you pod stole me. And so, you know, like, I don't see you saying it to my face. So
I didn't realize we were getting a Harrison's hot take. Like, had I known that, I would have asked you to prepare the soundbite for it.
I'm not editing the show. So you're lucky that I didn't curse there. I was trying to help you out.
I'm just taking in the at this point, if we get the explicit tag, we get the explicit tag.
This show has always been explicit. Let's just be real, even without the curse words.
It really has.
We've had some moments.
All right. That'll do it, though. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Harrison, for hopping on. Well,
I
won't,
but I'll miss you guys. I still miss you guys. I miss doing the show, but on to, like, different things. I'm not going to say bigger and better, just different things.
But the show got bigger and better, but you're on to different things.
Well, yeah, because people don't like me.
Aw. No, we like you, Harrison.
We'll see.
I do want to say something here. I was battling whether or not I was going to go into it, but Bo Cherney from Twitter apparently took his own life yesterday. He was one of the originals. He was one of the guys that I followed early on. Got me into blogging because of the energy that I saw him and others cover the Hawks He took his own life. And if you're going through stuff right now, just talk to somebody. Just talk to anybody. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, because it means you're fighting to stick around. You're fighting to make your life better. And the people that are left behind are the ones who are punished here. And so I want to again, if you guys ever have anything that you guys want to talk about, I'll even open up my DMs. And if you want to reach out to me and if you have questions about anything or about anything that you're going through, just reach out to either me or anybody close to you. Get the help that you need, because the world is a better place with you in it. Have a great day, everyone.
I mean, as somebody who has been through this and like been hospitalized and like thought that I was at my darkest point and it just needed to be over, like it gets better. Like everybody says that and it always seems like a lie. If you're going through this right now and I'm saying this right now, you're not going to believe me, and that's okay. But just, you need to push through and you need to talk to somebody, because there are people that care about you, I promise. And it does get better. Like it does. Even if it doesn't seem like it's going to right now, it does get better.
Absolutely. Rest in peace, Simba.